Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying there, going to the People's Republic of China. Bob Zimmerman is here. He's to report on the interior spaceports in the People's Republic of China and the presentation that space startups, independent space launch companies, are going to use the interior spaceports. Bob, a very good evening to you. As I recall, when we've discussed the interior spaceports of the PRC before, it has to do with them letting the first stage boosters fall on populations. Do we believe that'll be the same case for these so-called independent companies? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, I'm going to insist that we do not call them independent companies. They are pseudo companies in China. China has allowed private investment capital to be invested in companies that are structured like their independent corporations, but nothing they do is supervised by the owners or operators. In fact, the owners and operators don't own anything because China's government can step in at any time and take over. And they all know that. So they're there trying to run independently. It's a way China tries to create an independent, innovative, competitive operation. And it's actually smart on China's part, but it's still top-down authoritarian, and none of these companies are really independent, which tells us a great deal about what's going on. Yes, there is a launch. China's four spaceports, three out of the four spaceports, are on the interior of the country, which means three out of the four spaceports, whenever they launch anything, and it's all mostly been government launches up to now, the first stages and sometimes the second stages of that launch and the boosters, definitely the strap-on boosters, crash down on China, sometimes Mongolia. And in doing so, they try to set up drop zones and try to control the crash, but they don't really have that much control. They haven't really designed this properly. They sometimes land in habitable areas, and we've seen many videos of that happening. Well, these so-called pseudo companies, there are four that are building launch sites at the Jiuquan spaceport in the interior of China. I've got a map on Behind the Black of all these spaceports so you can get some sense of this. And this is the most interior of all the interior spaceports of China. So anything launched from here is going to drop stages on China or Mongolia, guaranteed. In fact, it might even possibly drop them on Russia. That's a possibility, not a strong one, but it's a possibility. And now you've got four different space operations, these pseudo companies that are going to be doing this. All these companies are trying to develop their own rockets, and none of them are even close to the stage where those first stages could land vertically. Some claim they're going to eventually do this, but none are doing it initially. So what we can expect is many more first stages crashing into China. And because these companies operate competitively and somewhat with a certain amount of independence trying to get business, there's less control over where those first stages land. So we can expect lots of cool videos from China of first stages burning up near houses or even on top of houses. It'll be fun to watch, but it'll be pretty tragic, John.
Bob, what is the Artemis program? What is it?
Artemis program was created by the Trump administration to give a purpose to the SLS rocket, NASA's rocket, and the Orion capsule, NASA's capsule. Both were mandated by Congress, but they didn't have any purpose. They were kind of to go to the moon, but there was no program really planned to do so. So the Trump administration put together this plan. They then also started to partner with private companies instead of building things themselves, depending on SLS and Orion alone. They decided, let's private enterprise get involved in this and let them do as much as possible. So that's the Artemis program. Well, the first Artemis mission launched in the fall. That was an unmanned test flight of Orion around the moon. They're going to do a second orbital flight with people on it, hopefully next year. And then the third Artemis mission is going to be the landing, and that's tentatively scheduled for 25, but I'm willing to bet anyone it won't launch at that time. So I've got a great picture on Behind the Black that was released this week by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter science team. Reconnaissance Orbiter takes great pictures of, has been basically mapping the moon in great detail for the last, like, more than a decade. And this is an oblique view of one of the potential candidate landing sites for that Artemis III mission. And so you're looking across this extremely mountainous terrain because of craters in the southern, near the south pole of the moon. And I show it. We're talking about landing on top, basically a plateau top of a mountain that's 16,000 feet high. And you can see cliff faces that are 11,000 feet high nearby. And this is where Starship will land. So we conceivably could have a picture by Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter of the same site someday in the future where you will be able to see Starship because it's big enough in the picture itself. And we should look forward to that.
Bob, why are they choosing such a difficult terrain? Because of the South Pole? Is that the explanation?
That's exactly it. They think the permanently shadowed craters here might have ice in them, which is an important resource on the moon since there's not much else to make. That water provides you water and energy and fuel, so it's a valuable resource. One of the things this picture, though, does highlight to me, John, is a certain level of blarney with this mission, because they say they're going there because of the permanently shadowed craters and they want to see if they can get to the ice. But it's totally inconceivable that the Artemis III astronauts will be able to get anywhere close to the ice at the bottom of these craters, 11,000 feet away. It's just not going to happen. But either way, you know, if they're going to eventually take advantage of the ice here, if there is ice, they got to land here and start the exploration. So that's what this would be.
All right, we go now to a topic that is a challenge because it combines commercial space and the failure of the 16th largest bank in the U.S., Silicon Valley Bank. Bob, what is Astra?
Astra is one of a bunch of space rocket startups that had its assets in Silicon Valley Bank. And over the weekend, it looked like several of these rocket startups were going to die, Astra being one of the most vulnerable because it had problems already beforehand because they couldn't get their assets. Now that the feds have moved in and arbitrarily changed the law to guarantee all deposits, companies like Astra and Rocket Lab and others can get their money out, and so therefore they're not threatened, apparently threatened by this particular bank failure.
However, Astra has its own problems, Bob. Your report says that its stock is down 90% in the past year.
Yeah, and that's the drop in stock had nothing to do with the bank failure here. It has to do with the fact that Astra had an operational rocket that had problems. It was a very small rocket. And they made a decision after the last launch failure to abandon that rocket entirely and instead focus on building a new, more powerful rocket that they thought would be more reliable. Well, what that meant is they literally took themselves out of the launch business. They're no longer an operational launch rocket company, and business that they had signed contracts for now went to other rocket companies. And so that decision, though maybe it was wise, lowered the value of the company. And there have been real questions whether Astra is going to survive this situation. Still around, but we'll have to see. Fortunately, Biden and the feds saved it at this particular point, John.
All right. This is very promising. Vulcan is rolling out to the launch pad. What is Vulcan?
Vulcan is the rocket that ULA is building for a decade almost to replace its Atlas V and its Delta family of rockets. And it's intended to be a cheaper, competitive rocket against SpaceX. And it was delayed for a long time because of Blue Origin's BE-4 engine delays, but they finally got the engines they needed. And so the first rocket is now rolled to the launch pad for fueling tests. They rolled it out, they did a fueling test, and the weather looked bad, so they decided to roll it back to the assembly building. Then the weather looked better, and they've now rolled it back again to the launch site. And they're going to do propellant loading tests with this. The upper stage and payload is not yet stacked, and that's okay. They're basically just now making sure that the fueling of the first stage is going to work. And what essentially what ULA is doing here is they're getting everything they can get done as soon as possible. So that when, for example, they'll finish the tanking tests for the first stage so that when they can finally start stacking the upper stage and the payloads, they'll be able to do that. And if they have to do further tests, they won't have to do these first stage tests. So that's where they're going, and this is looking like it's more likely that a May launch of Vulcan could very well happen, John.
My memory, Bob, is that ULA is for sale. Has there been any advancing information on that?
The situation with ULA, it is not publicly for sale yet. These are rumors from anonymous sources, so we really do not know if this is actually going to be the case. And so, therefore, nothing has been announced. And I don't expect any announcement if it's true. Anonymous sources, once again. If it is true, I don't expect any such announcement until after Vulcan launches. The rumors suggest that they want to put it up for sale after they've demonstrated Vulcan is operational. And then the company has more value, and they have more likely to be able to make a bigger sale. But once again, it's all rumors. Might not even be true.
All startups are not boosters or nanosatellites or space tugs. Some startups are infrastructure. What is Leo Labs, Bob?
Interestingly, John, Leo Labs is not a recent startup, though it is in this sense. But Leo Labs has actually been around in some form or another since the 60s, doing contract work for NASA and the military, all related to aviation and space and the edge, that technology. But they, in the last few years, they've redesigned themselves, re-imaged themselves as a commercial company, raising private investment capital for the purposes of creating a global radar ground station network for tracking objects in orbit. And this is, in a sense, in competition to the Space Force. It makes me, Space Force provides this information relatively freely, but Leo Labs is now providing that information as well for a fee. But I suspect it's because they're setting up radar stations, and they set up six. Their news here is that they've set up a new radar station. They're going to build one in Argentina, or a seventh station, which will allow, it'll be at the very southern tip of South America. So it's going to give a lot of information about objects going over the North and South Poles. I guess the way they're making their money is they can provide, the Space Force provides specific information, but not in great detail. So Leo Labs, if you pay them a fee, they're going to provide you a lot of detail about the objects that are in space, some of which might have a collision threat. So that's how they're trying to make money, and they're now expanding their operations. So it's a seventh radar facility.
Bob, in the past, there have been moments where we have to wait for information coming from probes into the solar system because of the deep space network, is my memory of what it's called, being overloaded.
Yes.
And will Leo Labs augment that, or is that a separate consideration, deep space?
Totally network? Separate consideration. This is Leo Labs is radar operation, so it's using radar to look for objects in orbit. No communications involved, no download of data from the objects. The radar is looking up to see if it can spot objects no more than 2 centimeters across, which is, what is that, about a few inches. So it's looking for tiny objects, any size objects from tiny to larger, and tracking them. That's different than the communications that the deep space network provides, where it downloads the actual images and data from the probes in planetary.
I wonder if there's a startup possibility in building a commercial deep space network.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. There is definitely potential there. But NASA recently upgraded its system. China's building its own. Europe has built its own. So you've got multiple systems already in place. And so I don't think there's a lot of investment capital that'd be interested in such a thing at this time, because you'd be competing against multiple government systems.
And Endurance is back. What is Endurance?
Endurance is one of four of SpaceX's fleet of private commercial manned spacecraft. Endeavour just launched to ISS with a crew, and Endurance just came back with a crew of four. It undocked from ISS over the weekend and splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico. Everything went smoothly, and it came back to Earth. And so the crew that was on it had been up in space for 6 months, and so they're now back. And what we have to remind that everything that Endurance is doing is private. The astronauts might be NASA astronauts, but they are customers and passengers on a SpaceX capsule that is not only launched, but also recovered by a private company.
And you note, Bob, how smooth everything goes at SpaceX. So smooth, there's hardly anything to talk about.
The more important thing is a crew of four people splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico from space, and most news organizations don't even care. No one even pays attention. It's SpaceX. It's just going to happen. It's not a problem. And that's how we look at it now. And that just indicates, once again, of the high-quality work that comes out of this particular company.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.